Hello, and welcome to This Might Be The News, a weekly podcast that aims to get you up to speed on the last 7 days of current affairs. Somewhat undermined by the fact that I haven't read any newspapers or done any research for this podcast. I'm helped this week by my informed guests. This Might Be The News regular, Paul.
Hello.
And our unofficial American correspondent, Christine.
Howdy.
And my name's Rory. Welcome. Happy New Year to you both.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Good Christmas.
It was a good Christmas.
Got any New Year's resolutions to share with the listeners?
Oh gosh, that's a surprise question. You didn't brief me that you're going to ask that.
You didn't give my writers any.
Yeah.
They're going to bring some great things. My resolutions this year are just to keep on smashing it.
My
resolution this year is to think of a really good resolution for next year. Myself some time.
You got
359 days to go.
Yeah. I'll do some brainstorming each week, probably.
Each week.
We're good love with that. Feels kind of more formal this week. So for the listeners, I've got a new mic and this is more in like an interview capacity. I feel like I'm interviewing two members of Steps or something. Like
Steps! That's where your mind went when you look at
us. H and Claire. We've got H and Claire in the office.
I actually don't understand that reference, but I'm willing to accept it.
Steps? Imagine, I'm trying to think of an American equivalent to Steps. A mixed boy and girl band from the 90s, I want to say.
Yeah,
did song.
90s.
Did mainly covers.
Mainly
stuff
covers.
Like Tragedy.
Their USP was every song had a dance that you'd do to it. There was a routine.
All right, like the Macarena.
a little.
Right. But the Macarena meets S Club 7.
Okay, I also a reference that goes over my head.
We'll just
really
make a
sorry.
List of
the rest of
that,
yeah. The rest of our Saturday is going to be spent.
I know.
Showing you Steps videos. You're going to really like them.
Am I going to have homework?
Yeah,
absolutely.
I'm sorry.
So after a couple of sort of specials of end of year review, Christmas special, we're going to talk about some news this week. Are you ready?
I think so.
Mm-hmm.
Then we shall begin with the facts.
Facts.
The facts. So it would be a waste of having our unofficial American correspondent on if we didn't talk about President-elect Donald Trump.
Donald Trump.
Donald Trump. Are you warming to the idea of the Donald?
You know, he hasn't even become president yet, and I feel like he is already making America great again. It just feels there's something in the air, you know?
It feels great.
Is it fear in the air?
Yeah. A little bit of fear, a little bit more sort of climate change, making things warm.
You know that pre-date feeling where you've got that anxiety, be like, this is probably a bad idea.
Yeah,
but it could be great.
I could be about to meet the one, or I might just throw up in the bin.
Or she's just going to pie me off after 3 days, and that could be what Trump does. And we could have Mike Pence as president by probably mid-Feb.
Is that an improvement?
I don't know. I mean...
We don't know anything about Mike Pence except that his plane almost crashed during that.
And he has kind of attached himself to Donald Trump. So it could be a savvy move on his part or just like really bad judgment. But he's going to be in the White... That made me nearly choke a little bit. But yes, Donald Trump and Mike Pence are going to be in the White House.
They're going to be sat there.
Yes.
I actually can't believe it. So I try and think about Donald Trump in the White House. I can't. I can't imagine it. I can't.
He's going to be restless. He's not going to be sat down much ever. You know how you've got all these photos of Obama sat down, writing, probably signing off documents or whatever, giving his approval to things. None of that.
Well, you know with like the West Wing,
yeah.
How he's always just like walking around corridors of the White House, like constantly moving. It'll be like that with Trump on a Segway, just like increasingly out of breath.
Do you think that he'll trust all the staff? Because he knows people don't like him. And I read during the campaign that he only ate at like McDonald's or like big chain restaurants because he was afraid of people like poisoning his food. And
yeah.
So he only ate at places where your order was more or less anonymous. Like you just sort
That's
of...
That's fascinating.
Yeah. And I
wow.
wonder if he'll do the same.
That's a real paranoia.
Already he seems to be taking issue with intelligence briefings.
Oh my
like
gosh.
The daily intelligence things. And he's saying he doesn't want to be patronized by like the intelligence officers in terms of like...
He said he was going to try to get rid of the CIA. That's crazy.
And so with the intelligence briefings, is his issue what there's just too much information and it'll bog him down? And...
He thinks, and he, this is a genuine thing, that he believes he's smart enough to not... He came out and said he's smart in a way that he goes, I don't need to be daily briefed on what's going on because I understand the situations, which is just like the most stupid, naive thing.
That's like
ever.
When you pick up a self-help book and you read the first few chapters, like, yeah, you basically get the point. Got I don't it. Need to read the rest.
Okay. Just reading, like, saying, like, I've got a good knowledge on most subjects of just, like, the first paragraph on Wikipedia.
I'll just use the index for the rest, depending on, like, when stuff comes up, I'll just go, Gulf War.
Rory, I don't think he even knows where the index is.
No, he wouldn't know what an index is. He's got two tiny index fingers himself.
Hey, but he is fine down there.
Oh, yeah. Incredible that was
said
on TV.
Small hands do not make a small penis.
According to Donald Trump.
He probably read that in a book, I'm imagining.
He's probably got that on like a tea towel or like a picture of a sunset written across it.
So with the facts, what I wanted to get to the bottom of, though, the thing that's sort of getting coverage in the news this week is this inauguration. So I've seen some headlines. I haven't fully looked into the details, but it sounds like whereas Obama was basically the most popular with the celebrities president since JFK, no one wants to touch this inauguration. Is that correct?
That seems correct.
So Obama's inaugurations, he had Beyonce,
great,
and
Aretha must have been involved.
Aretha. So those two. And now, like, Obama's leaving party, which he's holding tonight, I think, is... The lineup is a real, like, I'm throwing, like, mad shade.
Is it like the ultimate Glastonbury?
If Prince and Bowie hadn't died last year, they'd be there. It's like Paul McCartney's there, Chance the Rapper's there, I presume Beyonce will be there as well.
I think I saw Bruce Springsteen will be there.
The boss.
That's great. And then I think they've just got loads of other celebrities just coming and saying...
Everyone's just dropping in. Like, Samuel L. Jackson just being the audience. And just, like, all the A-listers. Essentially just going, like, one big, let's burn this house down before.
And so who did Donald try to get for his party? Which is coming up in about... I think it's less than 2 weeks now.
Yeah, he... Well, it seems like he's getting just the dredges at the bottom... He tried to get... Who?
He's tried kind of like everyone, and everyone sent...
I don't imagine...
Fairly impolite, which is absolutely fair enough, responses saying, no. And I can't remember who it was. Busy. There was someone saying in the arts today, going like, well, it's not really surprising when you look at everyone in the arts industry of what they... The kind of things they go for don't really align with Trump.
What a hard job for his inauguration party planning committee, because they must be... writing out all these emails, trying to book all these acts, and making these calls. Hi, yeah, I'm just with the Trump's inauguration party. Okay, sorry, thanks, bye.
I wonder how far into the phone call now that they actually put that it's for Trump.
Maybe
do you
think they lie? This is for a thing that's happening on the 20th.
Big Washington house party.
Yeah.
It'd be great if you could do it, it's kind of for Trump. It was when UKIP referring, no, it was the Leave campaign.
Yeah.
We're throwing a big thing in Birmingham. They had like this big concert. And I remember it was just like, in the end...
It was called B-pop.
Yeah, B-pop. Because they didn't want to call it like Leave.
Or it was like Brexit pop.
So in the end, I think Bucks Fizz pulled out of it.
And
which
so
is
Sister
incredible.
Sledge washed their hands of it. And I think two members of five were left.
I remember it was just like... Yeah, we really need the cash.
They were MCs. They were the performers. I think they were the roadies.
But
the two members
like,
of five.
Booking the inauguration must be like the dream job if you're an event planner. It's like that's the pinnacle. And then it's Trump and just like, well, my hands are tied by this utter arsehole.
They started off with a pretty big wish list, if I remember. I think at one point they were saying, Elton's going to do it. One of Trump's
two good wigs if Elton and Trump on stage.
That's just too much. So one of Trump's main people went on to a chat show and said, "Justin Timberlake, name your price."
Wow, that's
and his
cool.
price was stepping down from the presidency.
Do you know what must be a real kick in the face? Trump's daughter had a brief career as a pop star. Not Ivanka, but the other one, the other blonde.
The one that he won't speak about. The one that he sort of openly regrets. I think there's one that he slags off quite a lot.
The one that looks a little... I don't know what you mean. She looks a little dopey. You know, she's just kind of like...
Yeah. I kind of prefer to look dopey than the horrifying waxworks that the other Trump children look like.
They've been weaving
out. The two boys who are just like, oh my God.
She released an album a couple years ago. It's the most... Probably... qualifies for Guinness Book of World Records for most auto-tuned song released, I would imagine.
Well, isn't
that's
it,
not a fact, by the way.
Think how much of a kick in the teeth that is of, like, if your dad's president, he's already tried to install, like, Ivanka as, like, a secretary or whatever, he's then got his sons
also,
like,
oversexies
and stuff. Can't book anyone. And she's just sat there just like... And he's like, give me some ideas of who to book. And she's clearly just, like, sat there going, like... Well, you know, I did have that album out. It's like, yeah, it's great. And like, what artist do you like?
I like the idea of him just sat there with like a little list, and she's just singing the Star Spangled Banner, just whispering it. But yeah, he really should have invested in her as
well,
a pop star.
Well, he might have to. I can imagine on the day he'll just be like, "So, do you want to sing?"
She might have to come in as a last minute replacement for whoever pulls out.
Because
at one point they wanted Celine Dion, who wasn't even American, is she?
No.
And then,
then neither is Elton John.
Kiss wouldn't touch it, even though Kiss were supporting the Republicans. And then Andrea Bocelli offered to do it.
And Trump turned him down.
He said, not the right vibe.
Not the right vibe.
So who have we got doing this thing? Who's actually confirmed?
Do you think that thing with Andrea Bocelli was like a setup? So Donald Trump's like, I want you to fake offer to do it so that I can refuse you, so that like that gives us more gravitas, being like, well, you know, we've had to turn down people.
Yeah, we're turning people away.
It does kind of legitimize it for him of saying like, oh no, but we're just looking for the right lineup, as opposed to like everyone's rejected him. If it can then be at least like, oh, and yeah, we didn't actually want Elton John because he wasn't right either.
He might genuinely want to be able to call it like an all-American.
Yeah, they just want the people who they've got at the moment, the Mormon Tabernacle Choir.
Yeah.
Which they know how to throw
read out the list of who's on it again, because this sounds like, no offense, but I mean, actually, yeah, offense to Trump. This sounds like the lineup to like the most white trash like day ever.
Oh, yeah, if Coachella was like hosted in Tennessee,
yeah,
they might have this.
When you start to think about it, you go, right, okay, we're not going to... All the other parties or whatever ceremonies have been music thing. We're going to have a music-free event. And you go, what are we going to replace the music with? Marching. It all starts to feel a little bit...
Yeah, so read out what it is.
So we've got the Talladega Marching Tornadoes. So
that sounds like a soccer team I was once on. That one. You know.
How many soccer teams were you on that you can't pinpoint the soccer team that?
Well, okay, I'll be more specific. I was on a team called the Teal Tornadoes, and yeah, we did go to championships. No big deal. But
how did you get on?
Me.
How did the team get on? Did you win the championships?
Oh yeah, we won.
Yes.
Yeah.
Nice.
I was 10 years old, pretty proud of myself.
Go Teal.
Yeah.
You work.
Go Teal.
We've then got maybe this is plural the Rockettes. So the story with the Rockettes, I believe they are a New York.
Yeah,
based high kicking group. They
yeah,
just
they
do high
the
kicks.
Yeah, they do
the
kick
high.
Line. So you know that very famous like kick line that comes in at the end of stuff where they all join arms and they do the little like yeah.
We're not allowed them in
very
Britain,
synchronized.
Are we not? We're not allowed to be that patriotic or
yeah.
or proud. But basically, the rule with the Rockettes, because they're New York based, obviously New York voted for Hillary. You don't have to do it if you don't want to. So we might be looking at a Rockette.
Held by gunpoint, probably.
Yeah.
Just do your high. Kicks.
Kick higher. Okay. I've got a silencer in the base of my spine.
I'm also imagining this in silence. I'm imagining the marching is in silence and the high kicking is taking place in silence. We then got to just bring spirits up. Yeah, the Mormon Tabernacle Choir. Do we know much about them?
No.
What's
big
the Tabernacle again?
Huge problems I've heard. Huge problems with smack. All of them. They love to party.
They are the US's libertines.
Yeah, they are.
They're falling apart at the seams. Do we know? Yeah, what is a tabernacle?
Is that just their place of worship? Like, is that just sort of a...
Okay, maybe they might bring the tabernacle with them.
Yeah, tabernacle, I think.
It's just where they originated.
Welsh?
I don't know.
I kind of feel like a tabernacle is a type
for
of
a fact
religious
section.
Building.
We haven't really got a lot of.
We can dub that in over the top, can't we?
All I know.
Tabernacle is this.
Just everyone, just Google that.
Know about Mormons is they don't have sugar.
Mm.
So it'll be a sugar-free inauguration.
Nothing like a sugar-free Mormon choir to really get you in the spirit for 4 years of horror.
And then to just bring some razzmatazz, my favourite word on this show. I think I use it every week. Bring some glitz and glamour to this event is Jackie Evancho, who was on America's Got Talent or American X Factor, one of those. And I think she might have got to the top five. And she's going to sing the national anthem. So Trump tweeted after that, sales have skyrocketed since she was announced. But we looked into it and it was a Christmas album that she had. The sales went up around Christmas time and it went from 6,000 to 11,000. So really not that many. You wouldn't call it skyrocketing, would you?
Yes. Not in a country which has got, what, 300 million people?
Yeah, I mean...
I mean,
he had millions and millions of people voting for him.
Yeah. I mean...
And 11,000 of those are interested in this.
I have to correct myself about the Mormon thing. It's caffeine. I'm so sorry. I thought it was sugar.
So they will have sugar.
Put down
they
the
will
coffee.
Have sugar, but it's a game they won't have caffeine.
Pick up.
Bosch a line of sugar.
Okay for that.
That's how everyone takes it.
Neat sugar. So, I mean... How else could we improve this party? So, I mean, Christine, are you going to like offer up your
services?
Well,
this is the thing. I was thinking, you know, like, I bet you could get into the inauguration just by offering to sing something or do something. I bet I could get a free ticket. I bet if we started a campaign, basically, we got me on YouTube. Somehow we just have to get like a million hits or something. That was pretty... should be pretty easy
That's
to
easy.
Do.
Yeah.
Especially with our money. Listener
oh,
base.
We'll take care of that based on... Yeah. The list might be the new socials.
So just,
oh,
like,
yeah.
Just like a video of me, you know, going, hey, you know, into the mic and everyone's like, wow, she's amazing. Like, she's this American sensation living in the UK. And then we tweet that to Trump because he's always on Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
And we just say, hey, this girl would love to perform. I bet you I could get there. How great would that be? Like... I know everyone's embarrassed about going, but
she's
I don't know.
Great. It's a rags to riches story. Get her on.
Let's call Christine's bluff on this. So what all we
all
need
of
to do?
All the
performers what we need,
sad.
So we need to record 30 seconds of you warbling something that sounds American.
Yeah.
And patriotic.
Yeah.
Okay, and then we just tweet it at Trump.
Tweet it at him.
And would we say something that would rile him because he likes to be riled? He responds to riling.
Yeah. Well. We need to make it seem like he can't have me at first.
Mm.
So at first it'll be like, wow, if only you could get Christine, but she's, you know...
You can have it as like former SNL cast member.
Yeah.
But turned Trump supporter.
Yeah.
Because then it'll be like, that's great, stick it to SNL.
Well, people invent fake personas all the time. Look at Prince.
And Trump.
Trump.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'll invent this fake persona of like, you know, this whole fake past. We could go, this could be huge. And I could perform at this is my probably only shot to perform at an inauguration. I've never actually wanted to. Like, it's not like a long-term dream. But it would be, you know, freaking cool about to talk at Christmas, guys.
It'd be great. I mean, it's great for any social media bios.
Exactly.
You performed at the inauguration of Donald Trump.
You probably get some like nice professional snaps out of it as well. I'm sure someone will be taking photos, I imagine.
And
great
free
for the
food
show, really.
Backstage, probably.
I'll go for the rider alone. Yeah. The catering they'll have.
This was the other thing I heard about this inauguration that we haven't mentioned yet. And this might be fake news. This might be one of those spoof articles that I'm not supposed to have read or taken seriously. But I heard he's using his producer and director from The Celebrity Apprentice. And they will be producing the whole thing.
That wouldn't surprise me at all.
And he will be coming in on a helicopter. Apparently he does that on The Apprentice.
Yeah.
I've never watched it. He will be flying into the White House via a helicopter.
Oh, God. I hope that blade just slips.
It's confusing because apparently the tradition is that every inauguration, the night before, the president-elect sleeps over at the president's house. In the little outhouse, in a little In a little guest house. I'm imagining Obama and Donald with like a load of DVDs.
Face masks, painting each other's nails.
A pipe of Pringles.
The kind of crossover in their Venn diagram of interests, I imagine, is fairly slim. To the fact it almost just looks like two circles sat quite far away from each other.
Obama must be dreading that night.
But I imagine he won't even do it, will he?
They can watch Friends. Everyone likes Friends.
I don't know. Will Trump like it? Not enough Trump?
I'm sure there's a Trump.
They'll
special.
Just watch reruns of The Apprentice, probably.
Or just that one scene from Home Alone 2 where Trump directs
Kevin.
Yeah,
he plays a hotel owner. Oh, no.
Well, that's all we've got time for with the facts. It's kind of... I think it's going to unravel over the next week or so, this whole inauguration thing. We're going to get a few more names flung at it. It's probably going to get more ridiculous.
Mm.
Putin might appear.
Putin, topless on a horse, singing the Star Spangled Banner.
I hear you had no music. What accent was that? I don't know.
Yeah.
But Putin will provide the tunes. Cool. Well, thank you both for helping with the facts. See you next week.
Task Force.
This week on Task Force. First, I should say about Task Force. Task Force is going to change. So, we're going to start letting our listeners come up with ideas for Task Force. Is this dangerous?
It's dangerous, but also exciting.
It's very democratic.
It is good. Let the people decide.
So you can basically tell that I'm running out of ideas of people to ring me.
Although, actually, we let the people decide on both Brexit and Trump. We need to take
the people
control
make
back.
Bad decisions. So, if you've got an idea for Task Force, if you're reading a paper and going, I'd like to see that this might be... I've got to choose a podcast with an easier name to say. If you'd like to see us try and solve a problem related to current affairs, be it, I don't know, fixing the EU or... Have Colombia sorted out their peace treaty yet?
There is a state of peace, but I don't know how long it's going to last.
We probably shouldn't tamper with that one then, should we?
Yeah.
But anyway, if you've got an idea for something that we can help fix, just email thismightbethenews@gmail.com or message us on... We're on Facebook, we're on Instagram. That's about it. We're not on Snapchat yet. I don't know what that would look like.
Imagine just... Fairly infrequent, once a week.
Yeah. Once a week, there's just me with a little dog tongue hanging out.
Amazing. And then you put the filter on.
Are we allowed to curse? Oh, shoot!
You are allowed to curse. So, anything? Any other words you want to say?
Fuck. I said that. I was really scared.
You actually did that.
I'd like to apologise for both saying it and how I said it.
So, this week, however, I've had a call.
So creepy, I'm sorry.
Fuck.
This week, I've had a call from none other than Nigel Farage. He's back.
How did he get your number?
I don't know. I've just got to stop posting it as status.
Did he WhatsApp Theresa May and she passed it on?
Yeah, I think there's just a group of them. It's got Trump, Farage, Theresa May, God, and they're all just swapping my numbers.
God, yeah, I forgot about God.
God's a regular. And so Nigel's called me, and I don't know if you guys know this, but Nigel Farage has been given his own radio show. Now that he is no longer the head of UKIP, he's now got a daily radio show on LBC called The Nigel Farage Show.
Oh my gosh, it's going to be poisonous.
According to Nigel, the show will be full of opinions, callers and reaction.
That is genuinely the least I expect from a radio phone-in show.
He's added more. I invite listeners to agree with me.
What?
But also challenge me. And together we can lead Britain's conversation. A conversation with ourselves? What is Britain's conversation? Anyway, he's called me up and he said, Rory, you've got a lot of experience with this. You've done at least, nearly 20 podcasts.
Yeah.
Can you just help me
plan
out this show? Come up with a few features, kind of sort of really make it a show that people can't miss. You guys got... I need you guys to help me with it. You guys got any ideas?
Make it less daily.
Yeah.
Monthly? Only because, he's... Probably, people don't really need... Every day, that's going to be tough for him. He's going to have... Yeah. He's not going to have enough time to talk to his buddy Trump on the phone.
Exactly.
Sure.
When is he going to have time to take photos in golden lifts
with
Donald? My advice would be like the poem that they read in one of the funerals at Four Wakes in a Funeral, where it's like, turn off the mic, unplug the phone, go outside, keep walking, don't turn back till you get to the sea.
Or
carry on straight in there. By and that then point, don't come out.
By that maybe point, actually, we've got a studio.
Yeah. Maybe this is a good thing. Maybe having him in that studio every day, confined to those four walls, will prevent him from doing more damage outside the four walls. Mm. So he's, you know, maybe stuff's going on out in the world, but he can't really get involved because he's got this new job and he's got to stay and he's got responsibilities. So maybe it's a way of trapping him. Actually, it's probably brilliant.
I think there'll be some great callers. I mean, I'll definitely, probably at some point, in a drunken stupor, phone in and tell him he's an arsehole.
But isn't this an opportunity for him to just build up more of a following?
Your job now as his radio producer is to prevent people from listening to this show.
Mm.
That's so the main thing that you need to be doing. You need to focus on keeping Nigel in that room and making sure nobody is tuning in.
So you're saying I need to sabotage?
Yes.
And go to every taxi driver ever, because they all listen to LBC.
They love it.
And make sure they know this is not okay to listen to. This is trash.
One way to do it is fill it with boring features, such as Farage in the Garage. Which is Nigel Farage in various garages, talking through everything he can see in the garage, but he's not allowed to say anything political.
Rusty ladder, half a paint pot.
We've got a step ladder here.
A fridge we don't use anymore.
So a bag of charcoal, a couple of old bikes, just that. And so the hour passes. And he's nullified as a political force.
Farage in the garage.
Farage in the garage.
Yeah.
So you need to put that in the show.
Okay. You can also lock the first garage and leave him in there.
I've got a feature idea called The Good Old Days, where listeners just call in and say things that they remember from the good old days, like when you used to be able to leave your front door unlocked or open.
Okay.
Or like, do you remember when people used to say hello to each other on the street?
Horrifying.
Yeah.
And sort of just pre-EU memories.
You could just do a segment in the show where you just replay old news broadcasts from the radio. So just find an archive, and it doesn't matter where it's from. It doesn't have to be significant historic. Just today on the BBC.
Open with Winston Churchill's "We will fight them on the beaches."
Exactly. Play anything from any time in any history that's just not Farage related.
Yeah. I think the key thing is also, if you just let the callers speak for as long as they want.
Right.
If he doesn't get to really interject. So just get monologists to phone up, or people who are just old people who really want to talk about their day. There's so many old people out there who don't really see anyone. They can just phone up Nigel Farage and just talk them through what they've done from moment they wake up until they go to bed. And he won't be able to politicize it at all.
This is a personal anecdote, but I used to do a radio show when I was a student. And I used to have a caller that called in every time in the town. Her name was Cherry. And no matter what I was saying, she would just redirect it. So I would do those stupid quizzes all right, listeners, tell me, after the break, I'm going to... you phone in and tell me how many calories are in a stamp or whatever. You know, those dumb quiz. And she'd call in every time, every question. She'd be like, I got a question for you. And just totally hijack the show so we can get Cherry on.
Just get Cherry to phone every day and just
every question.
Hijack it.
Yeah. It's...
We could have another feature where people just call in and say, why won't they let us leave? Because that seems to be the latest thing that all the Brexiteers are saying.
Nigel, I voted for it, and yet we're still here. Why haven't we left yet?
Why haven't we left the EU?
I voted for a hard Brexit. So far, no Brexit at all. Not even a soft one.
We all knew what Brexit meant. We're going into this vote.
Nigel, I've got a lovely red, white and blue suit on, and I'm waiting for my Brexit. I packed my bags. It's not happening, Nigel.
I love that you're making a little face for this character that you're...
It's very hard to do the voice without doing the face.
And then I've got another idea, but I don't know what this is. I've just got the title. Brexit or Bust. It's maybe a game show element.
Okay.
And maybe...
Is that a zoomed in picture? It won't work for the radio, but on TV. And you zoom out and it's either a picture of Brexit or a bust.
Maybe it's...
Brexit or boobies.
I kind of feel like it needs more work. But I'm an ideas man.
Is it a nipple or is it Brussels?
It's very hard to portray visual stuff on a radio show. I just want to point that out. I don't want to discourage anything. I don't want to kill your dreams.
But that's a way to make sure his ratings are down by purely having visual features.
That's a good idea. All visual features, all visual segments. So
my friend used to have a parody radio show where he would go and describe art. So he'd go into a gallery to be like, yeah, it's... Kind of a picture of a horse, some green on the bottom. Right, more next week.
Some nice painting. Some nice painting. Some nice brushwork
kind of
there.
A bit of a triangle. I like it.
And so, say you're the booker for the first week of the Nigel Farage show, and you need to get some guests on. Who are you gonna go for?
Ghostbusters. Sorry, I don't know. It just always feels right.
Who are you gonna call? Call them. That's
a good question.
I don't know. I mean, you don't want to legitimize it, so you don't want to give him someone who's gonna. Like,
I don't know.
Take him to task.
Theresa may or may not do it.
Oh shit. Theresa, we need an answer. Sorry, I've just got a pun.
Well, if we're looking for like a voice to make people turn off.
Yeah.
It will be Theresa May.
Yeah. Katie Hopkins could go in there.
Wow. Well, they'd just be agreeing with each other.
People like her controversy
and again,
too.
And again,
much,
lock the door.
Lock the door. Let's get a
I'm trying to think of like fun, boring people who could go in. But I think just like if you just
leave
them. No,
they don't have to be fun.
What with all these people, we're kind of like these hot air political commentators. I think if you just leave them, if you turn off the phone so no one can phone in and just go, right, we're going to leave you the mic on for 2 hours and then let's see like where he's at. If he doesn't have anything to get like riled up about, he'll eventually just like burn out. There's no substance to anything he really says. And if you challenge him on it, that he kind of breaks down. So if you don't ask him any questions, he can't like put it in his own, spin it towards any like UKIP bias.
Yeah.
He'll run out, like he'll start strongly, but imagine like after talking for an hour, Nigel Farage will not have that much to say.
Yeah, especially now that he's got what he wants.
Yeah.
So now he's just going to be talking about the conspiracy.
Oh, I've got a that's not a Nigel Farage voice.
Try again with your Farage.
Is Nigel Farage much of a tweeter? Because maybe this
I don't know.
Like, this is probably like his version, like how Donald Trump just tweets whatever he thinks. This is his, like, say what you think.
The only thing that really makes me laugh about Trump is I do like the way he says sad and an exclamation mark at the end of like every tweet.
Every post.
I think Trump, I was going to talk about this later in the next section, but I think Trump confuses his Twitter for his daily journal. It's just like, it's like a so for me. He's like, today I did this. And then he says his emotion at the end. Not cool, or sad, or what a
dweeb.
Yeah.
I was at my intelligence meeting and I came on my period. Sad. Like, thanks, Donald.
How embarrassing.
Yeah.
That would be awful if every time you posted something on social media, you then realised that a million people followed you and you're the president and what you just said is going
to
happen.
To wake up. Yeah, I mean, I always like panic when I'm sending texts that I've like sending them to the wrong people.
Yeah.
But he's just like, oh, I'm just putting this out to literally everyone. So everything you say is going to offend at least like the majority.
I'm sure like, you know, I mean, after a few weeks of being president, we can book Trump for the Farage show.
He won't be that busy at all, I imagine.
Yeah. Oh, I thought of somebody you could book for Farage show.
Tell me more. I'll give them a call after this.
Any therapist.
Wow.
Yes. That would be really
turn
good.
The tables on Nigel. So I think what we need to do is get him in the studio and then just tell him no one is calling.
Yeah.
He's not getting any calls. All the lights have gone off and there's just a therapist in the room and we just go, Nigel, start speaking. And then every 5 minutes the therapist would just go, and why do you think that is?
Exactly.
And why do you think that is, Nigel?
Cognitive behavioural therapy.
Why do you think we should let immigration in? But Nigel, how does that make you feel? And then it was like, I would listen to that. I would listen to like Nigel Farage do therapy for like 4 hours.
Nigel Farage on The Sopranos, basically.
It's either
Nigel on the couch.
It's either therapy or this is one thing that I've been thinking for a long time, and I'm so surprised we have not employed it as a political strategy. Darren Brown, he can change things with eye contact alone. If you could get Darren Brown involved in politics, I think real change could be made.
So we should get, let him have a chat with Nigel and just get Nigel to change his mind.
But you got to make sure they're in the same room because that's Darren Brown's sort of, he works very physical contact and eye contact. But he can change, he can genuinely, I've seen him make people, you know, unafraid to fly planes. We could definitely get Nigel Farage leaning a little bit more to the left by the end
of
the show.
I think if you made Darren Brown Speaker of the House in the Commons, it'd be great. Because as soon as it's like, and now from you, and then just looks at you, it's like wearing like, I was going to say. I'm going to sit down.
I think about Darren Brown a lot, mainly because I don't know if he's like the most trustworthy person in the world or the least, but I feel like he is the one person that can change stuff.
Darren Brown genuinely scares me. Like, when I watch his shows, I'm just like, I don't know how that's done.
Most
magicians, I'm like, oh, I know that's just like ridiculous. But some stuff that he does, I'm like, fuck off, mate.
He just makes you feel like either everything you know is a lie or everything is going to be all right. I don't know. I can't decide. And I just think, I think it's a shame we haven't gotten him involved sooner.
You're right. I'm surprised we haven't thought of this.
Get him in.
So Darren is our only hope for 2017.
Darren's the first guest on the Farage Hour of Power.
Because last week we talked about how 2016 was kind of the Empire Strikes Back of life. And that it's the low point and we need a saviour. So maybe that saviour is DB.
So we've had Empire Strikes Back and now we've got Star Wars A New Hope. And that's Dobra.
Think about it, you guys. Think about it. What I'm saying is I think it's a good idea.
Well, that's all we've got time for this week on Task Force. So to conclude, we've got Farage in a garage. We've got Remember the Good Old Days. We've got locking Nigel in a room with a therapist. And then ultimately booking Darren Brown in to
hypnotize him,
wipe his brain clean.
Yeah,
these are great ideas. I'm going to take them back to Nigel and see what he see what he makes of them all. Thanks.
Quiz.
So, the quiz. Who won out of you two last time? Last time we quizzed.
You won because I was hungover.
Hungover,
also stupider.
Don't blame it on that.
Don't speak about my mate Christine like that.
Right, let's see. What I always do is I write the questions down and then I forget the answers because when I'm writing them, I'm like, I'll never forget that. And then I do.
And then you do.
So let's see how this goes. This box is falling down as I scramble for the answers. Question number one. You know how this works? You just say your name. Say your name if you know the answer.
Say your name, get a point.
Which Spice Girl was given an OBE in the Queen's New Year's Honours list?
Paul. Oh. I want to say, just because she's been in the news a lot recently, Victoria Beckham.
Correct. One point.
I did know this.
Joining her husband David, who already has one.
Yeah.
She got it for, I think, fashion rather than singing.
Have you seen the YouTube video with Vogue? It's where they ask like 50 questions or something. I can't remember.
Oh yeah, I know those like 60 rapid questions. 60 questions and 60.
Her one is incredible.
Is it?
And also, if you watch that, then there's a great comedian called Holly Byrne who did a parody version of it, walking around a corner shop. Okay. And it's really, really good.
That's the rest of your day sorted, listeners. Just do that. And then maybe just listen to some Spice Girls. Question number two. Who left London's Natural History Museum this week?
Probably lots of customers.
Satisfied customers.
Wow.
I'm going to say, because I think they've changed it.
Come on.
I don't know the exact name, but isn't it the dinosaur who's in the front bit? They've changed it because it's going to be a blue whale?
I'm going to give you a point. He's going to get a point. Maybe half a point. I don't know. Let's see how you feel, Christine.
My answer was technically factually accurate as well. So
Christine should consider... If I'm getting half a point, she should get one as well.
You are right.
Lots of people have left. Otherwise, it'd be packed in there.
It'd be a nightmare. You'd never get in. But yeah, it's Dippy the Diplodocus.
Yes.
It was dismantled 112 years after taking up residency in the main hall.
He must have been tired on display. You know,
what I didn't realise, he wasn't even a real... dinosaur.
Yeah.
It was a plaster replica.
That is scandalous.
He's done well. 112 years is it basically a little model.
As a lie?
A lie.
112 years as a lie? I'm good riddance to him. I'm glad we got him out of there.
Next you're going
to
tell me that Yoda in Trafalgar Square isn't actually Yoda. It's a guy stood on a box. Don't ruin my dreams.
Let's have that conversation after this. I don't want tears on this podcast.
Not another Santa conversation. So.
But it is a real skeleton of a whale. So you'll be pleased.
Having a whale of a time.
Something that genuinely died. So what else we got? Question number three. So you got 1.5 points and you got a half a point. Christine.
Thank you.
Who returned to social media this week after a 3-month hiatus? Oh dear.
Cricket.
Come on, who's like generally known as like the biggest social media?
Oh, I know who it is.
Who?
Paul. It's Kimmy K.
She's back.
Oh yeah, I did know.
She's been a few months off while she dealt with poor old Kanye, and now she's sort of posted, she's changed her cover picture on Facebook or something and then posted a little photo of her with the family.
That's how you know you're starting fresh. You just change all your social media pictures and it's kind of like just telling the world, look, I'm just resetting. Everything's going to be fine.
New year, new me.
Wash that cover picture off out of your hair.
Yeah.
Very tenuous.
Question 4, another comeback. Which music artist made a comeback on Friday, immediately going to number 1 and number 2 on the iTunes chart? As soon as he or she came back.
I mean, incredible. Like, fair play.
good luck. Well done to them, but who is it?
Okay. And it's a new album.
Why are you asking so many questions?
Yeah, I didn't come here to be quizzed.
To be quizzed.
About other people's lives.
Come on, just name like someone who's very popular.
Ed Sheeran.
Correct.
Are you serious? Oh, guys, on that note, did you see James Blunt releasing a new album?
He's back.
Oh, yeah, I saw that. Did you see how he announced it as well?
Yeah, really that was so good.
What did James Blunt say?
Well, James Blunt is great on Twitter.
Yeah, he's brilliant.
Because he responds to everyone just about saying how, like, I'm beautiful, brought like 2 houses for him, and he's like fine about it. But then he announced it saying like, oh, and as if 2016 wasn't bad enough, I'm bringing an album out in 2017.
That's brilliant. Well, that's a quiz question ruined for next week.
Yeah.
Okay, Paul's doing well here, but then you might bring it back at least with an honourable second place. Christine, what was the shape of Carrie Fisher's urn?
Oh, Paul.
Oh my gosh, I don't know.
Paul.
It was shaped as a Prozac pill.
Yeah.
Which is incredible.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Was that her desire?
Yes.
Apparently that was her request.
Also, like, really bold of someone outside the family to say that wasn't... if it wasn't, like, in her last will and testament.
Yeah, that's, like
Prozac pill.
Really...
That's really funny.
That's great.
Oh,
she was great.
Sorry I was so bad at that.
So sorry that I've... Work's been really busy this week, so I've decided to put it all off and just read
the news.
The news.
Well, thank you both for joining me this week. Congratulations, Paul, for another quiz win. You must have won a couple by now.
Oh, no. Yes.
I'm going to study harder. This is the thing. It's 2017. I'm going to go home. I'm going to improve. I'm going to come back, hopefully.
That's what everyone needs to do. Spend more time online.
And I'm gonna wow you guys. All right, listeners, don't give up on me. I'm going to wow you guys next time. I'm going to win the quiz. I'm going to sing at Trump's inauguration. I have so much planned for this year. It's going
to
be great.
Big January for Christine.
Well, I look forward to it.
Good luck to it.
Thank you both. And thank you, listeners. See you next week.